as we come to the end of the school year, in a sense. We were talking about celebrations. That also means like exam week is upon us, or the beginning of it, right? We have reading day and all those sorts of things. And I have a question for us to consider as we're going into the exams. And the question is, have you ever felt lonely? Because I think as we go into exam season, we start to think about all the things we need to do. And sometimes we just start spending more and more time by ourselves, right? Which makes sense because we have to study, and some of us study best by ourselves. But I want to let you know that I have felt lonely in the past. And for me, the way that I would describe this is it's that hollow feeling that settles in when you don't have someone to share a moment with, or when deep emotional connection is gone because someone has moved on. I know that's kind of a heavy thing to start out with is a celebration, but I think it's important for us this morning. And I felt this in different chapters of my life. Like I felt it when my friend Jeff and his family moved to Chicago between my fifth and sixth year growing up, fifth grade and sixth grade year. I felt it again in college as one of my friends who was older than me graduated and he took a job in Boston. Also, though some of us like Boston, like Elijah, some of us have a bad feeling about that. Just kidding, Elijah's wearing his Boston jersey today. Where? Ooh, let's go. I felt it again in 2008 as I moved here to help start a church with other folks. I felt it because I had left many familiar faces behind, many friendships that just change as you move. Even in ministry, loneliness can be a companion as people we love and serve eventually move on to new endeavors, right? And again, that's why it's important to consider now, because people are going to do their finals, graduate, and go different places. And my bet is that you have felt it too. You felt lonely at different times. And I know we've shared this before, but it always seems kind of strange to me because we live in such a connected era of history, right? Where any moment we could get on our phone and try to connect with somebody, whether it's through Instagram, through a text message, through Snapchat, things like that. But you know me, I love a good survey. So I have a survey again for you guys this morning. You probably have heard me share these stats before. But we are really dealing with loneliness. Nearly 1 in 4 adults worldwide report feeling very or fairly lonely in the U.S. And some people think it's even bigger than that. Some reports suggest that 60% of Americans feel misunderstood or isolated daily. And this isn't just like a sad feeling. Researchers suggest that a chronic isolation is as physically damaging as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, which is a lot. You know, we've all heard growing up how we shouldn't smoke cigarettes. But the bottom line is that we are starving for presence, right? And we try to fill that void, possibly with our social media, packing our schedules out so that we can be around people all the time. But in the midst of all those things, the ache still remains. Nowhere is that ache more obvious than when you try to do something meaningful or you try to do something for Jesus. If you feel like you're doing it entirely on your own. And lately, as staff has gotten smaller, I felt that transition personally. This is one example. Take Coffee Tent, for example. In years past, I'd be out there with Hunter and Nate, and we'd be passing out coffee, talking to people. This year, I found myself out there on my own, just doing it. And at times, it's felt isolating. And I don't share this with you guys so you feel bad about me, or then all of a sudden we're going to have 50 people out there volunteering for Coffee Tent. I share it because on some of those days, I was alone, but I didn't always feel lonely. On the days I didn't feel lonely, it was because I stopped to remember a specific promise, which I want to talk about this morning. You know, we're in the middle of this series called The Sending, where we've been going deep into the Great Commission. And we're actually in the last week of the series now, and so we're going to talk about the last sentence. But let's hear it all again one more time. Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you.' And this is the part I want us to focus on today. 'And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" You know, most of the time we focus on the go and the do of the Great Commission, but today I want to focus on that I, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, this is something to remember. This was something to remember for me when I was out in Coffee Tent. In those times when you're by yourself, you don't have to feel lonely because Jesus is there with you. So my hope for today is simple, but hopefully life-changing for us all, that we'd finally understand that we go with him, not just for him. We are sent, but we are never sent alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. I just pray that people would just be touched by you this morning, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak the words that they need to hear, that things would stick out to them that are important for their lives in this moment. I pray that you'd be with us all, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I want us to sit in this hard truth for a moment. If you attempt the mission of Jesus for Jesus, but without the presence of Jesus, you guys will burn out. Most of us treat the Great Commission like a professor dropping a massive project on us to complete right before we head to spring break. Or maybe you guys are feeling it right now, right before you do finals. They're like, "Oh, here's a last-minute homework assignment or project to do." But we act as if Jesus said, "Go and do all this hard work, and then I'll check back with you at the end of time to see how you did." When we live that way, the mission isn't a joy. It ends up being a burden. You know, the rejection of an invitation to have a spiritual conversation feels like a personal failure. The apathy of culture feels like a weight that we have to carry all by ourselves. And then our humility turns to insecurity because we realize we don't actually have the strength to change a single human heart on our own. But that is not what the text says. Jesus didn't give us a solo assignment to accomplish on our own. He gave us a shared life. And the core of this message is we go with him, not just for him. So let's look at the ending of Matthew 28:20. And it said, "And surely I'm with you always." When we look at this phrase in the original Greek, the phrase "I am" is ego ami. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's the echo of the burning bush, or basically what God said to Moses when Moses asked, "Who's speaking to me?" God said, "I am." And throughout the gospel, Jesus uses this phrase also. He leans into it. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd." He uses the ego eimi here. When he does that, Jesus isn't just saying, "I'll be around." He's invoking his covenant name. He's saying the internal, unchanging, self-sustaining God is woven into our everyday lives. Now, I've seen that recently as I've been in situations that would normally bring me fear and anxiety, but in those moments, I've had peace because I knew Jesus was with me. And he isn't watching from a distance while you work for him. He's standing right beside you because you go with him. And this gives the scope of his presence. The word "always" is a unique construction also. It actually says, "pasas tas hemeras," which literally it translates to "all the days." So Jesus didn't promise that he was going to be with us in the big moments only, like the baptisms like we had last week, or the mountaintop moments, the cool things you learned in Bible study, Sunday services. All the days meant he's with you in the everyday mundane reality of your life. Now, he's with you in those 2 a.m. study sessions right next to you. He's with you in the awkward silence after you invite a friend to coffee for a spiritual conversation and they don't say anything. He's with you in the knot of your stomach before an exam or a big meeting. He is there with you. There isn't a Tuesday afternoon so boring and Wednesday morning so difficult that he isn't all the days with you. It means you aren't just a solo person trying to finish a job for a distant client or God. You go with him, not just for him. Tim Mackey from the Bible Project often points out that the entire arc of the Bible is a story of God's desire to dwell. And we see this. It starts in the Garden of Eden, where God talks with the man in the cool of the day, and he's with Adam and Eve. Continues in the tabernacle in the temple, where the glory resides in the very center of camp for the tabernacle, in the very center of the temple, when the temple is built. And it culminates in Jesus, the Emmanuel, which literally translates to God with us. The promise at the end of Matthew isn't a new idea, which is kind of encouraging. It's a fulfillment of one of the oldest promises in the Bible, that he will be with us. So the mission isn't a lonely trek through a desert, some would say. It's a shared journey through a garden, like the Garden of Eden. And when we finally understand the pressure lifts, the Great Commission isn't something we do for a distant, demanding God. It's a life we live with a present, loving Savior. Again, we go with him, not just for him. But sometimes as we're doing this, there's a truth that we overlook. We are never more aware of Jesus' presence than when we are stepping out in faith in his mission. I don't know if you guys have felt that before, but I'll have this question for you. Do you feel like God is distant today? If you do, I want you to ask yourself some hard questions. Am I taking any risks that actually require his presence? Am I taking any steps of faith that I can't do on my own? Comfort is often the enemy of intimacy with God. When we stay in our safe zones where our bank accounts, our talents, or our social standing can handle everything, we don't really need Jesus. We can manage a safe life on our own, right? But the moment we invite that friend over for a dinner specifically to share your faith, or you stand up for justice in your classroom when it's unpopular, or when you admit a deep weakness to a friend, suddenly you're in over your head. You need Jesus. And that's exactly where you find him. His presence isn't a reward for finishing the mission. His presence is the power that sustains you during the mission. Now, there's a famous missionary, Hudson Taylor, who lived in this tension. I don't know if you guys know who Hudson Taylor is, but he was a British Protestant missionary and the founder of China Inland Mission, an organization that revolutionized missionary work in the 19th century. Taylor was noted for his deep commitment to cultural contextualization. Unlike many of his contemporaries, he adopted Chinese dress. Other missionaries weren't doing that. He spoke several Chinese dialects fluently and insisted that his workers live among the people they served and live the lives that they lived. Under his leadership, the CIM became a massive non-denominational effort that successfully brought thousands of missionaries to the interior provinces of China, which had previously been largely untouched by Western influence or by Jesus. Taylor is often regarded as one of the most significant figures in history of Christian missions due to his faith mission principles, relying entirely on prayer and providence for funding, and his enduring legacy of cross-cultural engagement. But Taylor, for years, he would admit, worked for God until he was physically and mentally broken down. He was trying to save China on his own strength. He described his life as a branch trying to pump its own sap out of the vine. He was doing everything for Jesus, but he was miserable because he wasn't doing it with Jesus. But one day it clicked for him. He realized that a branch doesn't struggle to produce fruit. It simply stays attached to the vine. This is what he wrote. The Lord conquered my unbelief, the unbelief that he could do it, and peace at once flowed into my burdened heart. Taylor realized that the pressure isn't on the branch to manufacture life. The pressure is on the vine to provide it. He stopped trying to be the source and started being the participant. He finally understood that we go with him, not for him, which is cool. So we have that sort of that one trap we can fall into. Another trap we can fall into is that we often think that we have to wait to be ready or empowered to act for God. But God works differently. Rich Warren captures this perfectly when he wrote that we often look for God's power in the wrong places. He says, God's power is most seen when our people are most active in his mission. Think about it this way, you know, about not having to be ready before you go on mission, not having to be ready before you go with him. You don't need a full tank of gas just so you can sit in a driveway and admire the engine. You get the fuel so you can drive somewhere. The I am of Matthew 28 isn't given to those who stay behind. They are promised to those who go. You don't need power to stand still. You need the power to move. And when you move, you'll find he's already there. So the question for you this morning is simple. How do we respond to this, to the Great Commission as a whole, but also to this idea that we go with him, not for him? How do we actually make the shift from working for him to walking with him? To this, we have to lean into one of our core values here at H Show, which is mission. At H Show, we desire to participate in growing God's kingdom by preaching the gospel, by showing hospitality to our neighbors, by living justly, and by serving the felt needs of our campus, our city, and our world. But let's be honest, it's an exhausting list if you are the one powering the engine. If living justly and changing the world are just tasks on your to-do list, you'll eventually run out of steam. You don't just need Jesus as a good example. You need Jesus as our fuel. We need his presence to sustain the very mission we are praying for. So I want to give you guys a practical tool this week to keep you from slipping back into this solo contractor mode where you either have to do it on your own or you have to wait to be prepared to go. I want you guys to set your alarm on your phone for 10:02 a.m. every day. And you might ask, and I've shared this before, it's because of Luke 10:2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So when the alarm goes off, whether you're in a meeting, walking to class, or folding your laundry, or doing whatever you're doing, I want you guys to pause for a second and just pray this. Jesus, I'm going with you today, not just for you. This prayer will do three things, hopefully, in our heart. One, it will remind us of the scope. The harvest is vast, and it's bigger than our ability to manage it. You're reminded when you pray this that you aren't the Lord of the harvest. He is, and that you should take the weight off your shoulders immediately. Second thing is it should remind us of our call. You're one of those workers. You aren't a spectator. You're invited into the field with Jesus. They remind you of your companion. When you pray, Lord, send me, you aren't asking him to send you away from him. You're asking to go with him into the rows of the harvest field. So when the alarm goes off, simply pray, Jesus, I am going with you today, not just for you. You know, Carrie Newhoff, a pastor, often notes that the greatest enemy of the Great Commission is the busy life. And this, taking this moment to pause, will hopefully refocus us onto what our mission is, what the Great Commission is. And isn't this the truth? A busy life can do this. We get so caught up in the mechanics of the mission, the emails, some would say the coffee tent setup, the scheduling, the God's work, that we completely lose sight of the God of the work. We become like Martha in the kitchen, clattering dishes and getting frustrated that no one is helping while the presence of God is sitting right in the next room. And I'll admit, the mission is hard. Rejection is a reality, and it's hard to deal with, obviously. The culture around us is shifting, and sometimes we feel like we don't even know what to do to live out the Great Commission. But the King of the universe did not leave us as an orphan. He didn't hand us a map and a compass and a set of instructions and say, good luck, I hope you guys make it to the end when I come back. In the midst of this, he gave us his very self. You know, think about it this way. You're not a lonely sailor on a boat terrified about the storm that is going to come. You're a friend of a king walking in his wake. And I want to focus on that for a second, the wake. Because imagine, you know, I've been around boats a lot growing up. I don't know how many of you guys have been around. But hopefully you can have a picture in your mind of this big, massive boat going through the water. A ship cutting through the ocean. For me, it was cutting through the Great Lakes. When the ship of that size, like a big shipping container one, moves, it doesn't just pass through the water, it transforms it as it goes. Behind the ship, there is a wake, they call it, but that creates a path of least resistance. The ship takes the bow stock, they call it, a bow shock. It takes the force of the waves and the wind. It breaks the resistance that normally would toss a smaller boat around in the waves. But in the wake or behind it, the water has been flattened and smooth. The path is really made straight. So when you walk with Jesus, you're walking in the wake of his authority. You're walking in this easy path. You aren't breaking the water. He is. You're just staying close to Jesus, staying close to him and his power. And in the midst of it, he says, I am with you always, even to the end. And again, this includes the days when you feel like a failure, the days when the mission feels empty. It includes the days you don't feel holy enough to share your faith or prepared enough. When you're positioned in Jesus' wake, you don't have to manufacture the momentum. You're being drawn forward by the one who has overcome the world. So my challenge for you this week is this: pray and go. Like I said before, pray this 10-02 prayer. Jesus, I'm going with you today, not just for you. Then go. Go to that classmate, that neighbor, that friend, that roommate, that person you know from whatever club. Go to that difficult conversation, that difficult spiritual conversation that you've been meaning to have with somebody. Go to that person on campus who looks like they're drowning in loneliness. But don't go because you are strong or you have it all together. Don't go because you feel like you've got your life together now. Go because Jesus is present. Go with him, not for him. If the I Am is with you, then you have everything you need for the harvest, to go out into his mission field, everything for the Great Commission. You're never alone. You're never acting on your own authority. You're simply a branch attached to the very powerful vine. Again, this week, let's go with him, not just for him. Let's pray.